afternoon. This is your Captain Go. Now, Captain's Chair in the most unlikely place from which I have ever broadcast. I am in a United Club in what is euphemistically called the Business Center, and it is as much like a dungeon one can imagine. And furthermore, I am irritating and annoying all these people around me who are trying to get some work done. Yet I have the obligation to broadcast live from wherever I am. I'm halfway home from Amsterdam, and I've had some real adventures in Amsterdam, which I will relate a little bit long. So my greetings today go out to all in Amsterdam, even if they're not listening. And especially all of those who were part of the great expedition on sail, or the tall ships, which we did during the week. And that was the purpose of my coming over here, was to spend some time with my friends and Andy and Cece, and to go and pontificate about the tall ships, because, of course, I trained in Eagle, and at least one of her sisters was there. So that's my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people and those who have not yet become Captain Joe's people, who were part of that great tall ship's adventure. The binnacle list today is sort of a mishmash, in that several people have not replied to my signals. That may be because I've been away. And yet a couple have exhibited some considerable improvement. Not that they're ever going to be completely off the binnacle list for a while, but that they are indeed moving along. One of them is my Ingham shipmate, Josh, who has just reported a great set of numbers to deal with his particular malady, and at the same time, putting on the binnacle list of that which has crossed the bar, Josh's Bavarian Motorwerke machine finally gave up, not the ghost, but the transmission and all thereunto pertaining. So the Bavarian Motorwerke has now crossed the bar, and therefore is removed from the binnacle list. But one of the things that happened during the week was that my friend Cece fell off of her bicycle. She did some major damage, and she did this as she was pedaling to match up with your captain for the tall ships, which I will talk about a little bit in the next piece. So we were having a great deal of concern and getting her in to have an x-ray turned out to be not the easiest thing that happened with the National Health Service of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. She's had the x-ray now on yesterday, and it turns out that she's badly bruised. It's going to take a while to heal, but there is no fracture and there's no repair. She fell on a replaced hip, and so there we feel that this was a great piece of good fortune, that there was no damage except these major bruises, from which she will recover in a relatively slow way. My own Amsterdam adventures were partly because one of the things that Andy had done was that he had chartered a canal boat. And this canal boat was with 30 people, 30 friends, some friends of mine from Cambridge, some friends of mine from other places, and some friends of theirs that are now my friends. We took this canal boat into the middle, of the whole scrum. There were probably 20 tall ships. Several of them were either Eagle sisters or very close to her. And the big one that was not there was the Russian Krusenstern. She was not there. And, of course, the Mexican that had the elision with the Brooklyn Bridge was not there. And our Eagle was not there because Eagle spent the summer on the West Coast. But even with those ships gone, it was an incredibly beautiful sight. The wind was absolutely perfect, and all of the square riggers were able to sail from the flying jib all the way to the spanker, and from the courses all the way up to the royals. Everything set. And the wind was just right for them to be able to do that. It was directly astern so that everybody got the full effect of what it looked like with one of these ships is under full sail. And it was just an incredibly beautiful, beautiful sight. And if there was ever a demonstration of the good things that come out of teaching young people whether or not they want to go to sea, training in square rigger sail is it. I trained an Eagle for 4 years, and I consider that to be one of the most seminal, because you have to climb. In my day, there were no safety harnesses. You climbed without one. Today, everybody that climbs, climbs with a safety harness, and as you go up the rigging, you move it up with you so that should you slip, you're only going to fall to the length of the safety harness, and then your shipmates bring you back up. It was just a great day, and it was made even greater because there were people there who were mutual friends of all of us, and many of them had not been together for some time. I noticed that Cece was limping, and that was before I had heard the story as to what it was that had caused her to develop that limp. And it was only after that, after I made a few remarks of thanksgiving for the wonderful day that we had had together, and that she then explained to everybody what had happened to her. Recovery is coming. And in the meantime, my pleadings to get Andy and Cece to come back to America fell on completely clogged up ears. They have no interest in leaving the Netherlands. And they still own the house on the Burton Loop on the magical Isle of Vashon. I've been entrusted with a mission to one or two small things to check out on when I get back. And but they really do like the Netherlands, and they like the way that they live. I like the way they live. And about halfway through the visit, before I had my own fall from grace, which I will discuss in a minute, that I was strongly tempted to listen to their entreaties that I should come over and live in Europe for half of the year. I could do that by living in the UK. I'm not on a tourist situation or tourist visa in the UK. So long as I remain connected to the Cambridge University, I can stay as long as I want. And I even still have my National Health Service card for the UK. My own fall from grace happened thusly. We have been tracking on this broadcast my adventures with Mr. Foley. And when I got ready to come over here, I had pulled PM, preventive maintenance, on fittings, couplings, flushed it out. I did the right things. They were, however, not sufficient unto the needs thereof. And so when I got after the day after the great time with the tall ships with sail, I could tell that the intensity of what was going on in the lower midships was beginning to tell me that I probably was going to have to find somebody. I was going to have to find a Vivian. As the day went on and I became more and more uncomfortable, I decided that I would find an emergency room. And you have to understand that Amsterdam this last week, was just full up to the marks with people that were there for the tall ships. And there was a lot of partying going on, and there were a number of accidents and injuries. Somehow or other, through the good offices of a couple of friends who called ahead, we found a emergency room that did not have people queued up all the way to Rotterdam. In fact, they were so unqueued up that when we walked in, the people there had my name on their clipboards and were ready to take care of me. But of course, you do not do anything in the medical world, anywhere in the world, without doing the necessary paperwork, and in particular, how it is going to be funded. You all will recall that when I was in Belize, I had to go through the same exercise. And in Belize, I paid $150 U.S. for that Vivian. And that saved, if not my life, it certainly saved me from an incredibly bad experience. So this time, as I was working my way through the necessary paperwork, 400 euros, which is going to be covered by my travel insurance, I'm sure, although I suspect my travel insurance company is going to make it difficult, but I don't really care about that. In any case, 400 euros, and I now have an account with this hospital in Amsterdam. So they got me down on the table, and the two people who were the two people who were working on me, one of them was a young man of maybe 25 years, and the other one was a lovely blonde Dutch girl. And as the tube came out, and I'm not going to get gory or messy about this, but as the tube came out, it came out hard. And so I was given a Dutch elm stick to bite down on. Actually, I made that part up. But what I did have was the arm of this lovely blonde Dutch nurse to hold on to, and she was giving me instructions about how to breathe and puff. And I wasn't having any of that breathing and puffing stuff. It came out hard, and then a new one was installed. I thought that all would be well until I got home, because tomorrow is my next meeting with the real Vivian. And the real Vivian is also going to pull out, and then we're going to see how I do. This will be test number 7. I've been doing this now since the beginning of the year. If this doesn't work, then I've got to figure out what to do next, because I can't keep going like this The reason why all of this is becoming so difficult is that there's scar tissue building up inside, and there is tissue sloughing off, and that's what clogs up the tube. Enough of all that. I have got it in hand. I am, as always, a really good cheer. I am, as always, up in the captain's chair, and I am, as always, fully in command of everything that is mine to command. When we got to the hospital, there was no queue. I was treated as if I was His Majesty the King. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. So that's where we are tomorrow, Vivian, and then we'll see where we go from there. Next week, I will, of course, be talking to you from the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio. And from the Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon, I will give you a report. But I weary of telling all of this, and I do it because I know that a number of you are concerned, and I honor that, as do you honor me. But at the same time, there is a lot of stuff that is going on in the world that we just need to talk about, to get on top of, to be monitoring. And so let's get going on a couple of these things. The first one is a piece that came to me from G Captain. And this is an expansion of a warning that I have given out to a number of people who insist on using Global Positioning System as their sole and only way that they know how to navigate. In the Baltic right now, it is almost certainly the Russians are both jamming the Global Positioning System signals coming to and from the satellites, but they also have the capability and the ability, and are doing it, of displacing positions. I have remarked on this probability, and now it is beginning to happen. There have been some cases where positions on charts are not where they really are, and that's because there's the ability to electronically move GPS positions around so that it looks like you're in one place when you're in a safe place, and you really are not in that safe place. You're somewhere else. And that awful feeling of what happens when you go aground. I have been aground only once. That was in I Corps in Vietnam. And I will tell you that when you feel that, it is one that just grips you by the heart. And especially in a steamship, because steamships have to have a little bit of space between the bottom of the ship and the bottom of the channel, because they need to suck up cooling water for the condensers. So far, of which I'm aware, there have not been any of these types of incursions anywhere on the North American continent. But the capability is there, and there are things going on in this world between or among Russia, the United States, China, and other countries that may decide the leadership in any one of those countries to mess around with the Global Positioning System. The Russians have one, a separate system. We have one. And there is also one which is operated by the Baltic states. So everybody needs to learn and practice and use traditional ways of finding their way. A compass. A properly adjusted compass, a chart that has accurate variation on it, all of those things. So that's what I have to say about all of that. One of the things that happened just a few minutes ago, just to get back to Semper Paratus, was I was being pushed. I have to be moved around for any long walks. I have to be pushed around. I don't like it, and I have not yet figured out how not to do it so that I can keep on traveling. So I'm being pushed today, just a little while ago, into this United Club. And I put my hand down just for a little bit of a quick check, and it was wet. And what had happened was that the tank had failed. The seams on the tank had failed. But your captain, Semper Paratus, I have now learned to carry a spare in my flight bag. And that is what I did. And now I am sitting in this dungeon of a business center surrounded by lovely people who are trying to get some work done while I talk to you. And I'm slowly drying off. There's been a lot of interest about the SS United States, how she was moved out of Philadelphia, how she was towed down to Mobile, and how she is being dismantled so that she can be sunk. My magazine today is Sidelights. It is the magazine of the Council of American Master Mariners, an organization of which I've been a voting and dues-paying member for many, many years. It's, in fact, as long as I was eligible to belong, which is to be a captain of a vessel of above a certain size. And the Sidelights this month has an article about the United States and what's going on with her. And it shows a photograph of her on her sea trials. And the caption under it says, "The Big U, that's the United States, turns the Atlantic during sea trials," where she recorded 38.32 knots over the measured course. I can only imagine what it was like to be on the beach and watching her as she ran the measured mile, because that's how you do it. And as she ran the measured mile, and the markers were noted, to see a ship of that size going along at over 38 knots had to have been something that I wish that I had seen. At least one of the funnels has now come off of her, and maybe both of them by now. And in fact, both of them will eventually, they will all come off, and she will be stripped pretty clean of her superstructure. And her superstructure, in order to get her lightened and so that she could do those 38 knots, is aluminum, or as my English friends say, aluminium. But this is just an amazing picture of her doing 38 plus knots. And her chief engineer had the boilers trimmed exactly right. There's not even a wisp of any kind of smoke coming out of those stacks. The magazine is not available to those who are not members of the Council of American Master Mariners. And so I am reporting on this, and the front cover is an absolutely gorgeous picture of her in all of her glory. What a wonderful and amazing ship she was. And the fact that there was no way that she could be saved, I am at least reasonably content that when she is on the bottom off the coast of Florida, that she will be providing a great deal of great experiences for people diving on her, because that's going to be her purpose. One of my ships, Unimac, is also a reef. She is off of the New Jersey Capes, and I find that to be a much more satisfactory thing than to have a ship under my command be broken up. I had seen a photograph of my Northwind with the outer hull stripped away and the insides of her compartments. She had over 400 watertight compartments. I had been in every one of those compartments, and it just broke my heart to see that. And I would have been much happier if she had been sunk into and used for that particular purpose. A long, long time ago, I talked about a new shipping company that was put together, and it was and is called One. And the interesting thing about One is that these ships are all painted pink, or I suppose more precisely, fuchsia. It is really off-putting that one of them went steamed right past captain's quarters, coming out of the port of Tacoma. The sun was hitting both the water and this pink ship. She was loaded with containers. She was nowhere near down to her marks, which is our balance of trade. And in the meantime, there was no question, because the word one emblazoned on her pink side. I don't know if I'd want to be the captain of one of those enduring a transit of the Panama Canal where you cannot get away and where you have to endure the sarcasm of the Panama Canal pilots. I've told the Panama Canal pilot story of my own here on. The other thing that happened during the week was that it demonstrated to me the dependency that we have all come to acquire on the electronic devices, such as what I call the Andy phone. Mine went down hard. And I'm trying to keep up with the traffic. I tried to keep up with the traffic so that I could report to you that I did not have huge piles of this stuff waiting for me when I got back to captain's quarters, which will be tonight. And the way you restore this is that there are protocols that you go through, and then you end up talking to Brittany. I ended up talking to Brittany. But before that, I talked to a lovely young lady in Cavite City. And I talked to another young gentleman somewhere in India before I finally got to Brittany. We ended up changing the password. We ended up doing a number of other jiggery-pokery things. But we did finally get it put back together. I tell you this story because, should it happen to you, it is very difficult not to be so frustrated that you cannot get to the end. But there is an end. Always an end. My last piece is to tell you that I had to renew my passport because there was almost 6 months left on it, and you have to renew it when you have 6 months headroom left. And so I tried the online passport renewal system, and I have to tell you that it worked beautifully. It was, you pay a little extra to do it like that, but if you track through the way that the program tells you to do it, and you pay your money, and you then wait patiently for it to show up, all of those things will happen. And they happened to me, and I now have a passport that expires when I am many, many years old. And now, it is 1,600 hours here in Dulles, IAD, airline code IAD. It is time once again for me to declare that all too soon we have come to the end of our time together, and that I will be with you next week from the magical Isle of Vashon. And in the meantime, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And as always, all of you, and especially those on the binnacle list, are in the palm of your captain's hand.